everyone! Welcome to the first official episode of the Generic Gaming Podcast.mp3, the podcast where we talk about a new game every week. My name is Logan Myrie, and I'm one of your hosts. And as always, I'm joined by my esteemed co-host and sound engineer, Eric Sauerkraus. Eric, how's it going?
I hate it so freaking much.
It's so good. It's so Eric. Your name sounds like Kraut. Like so, like
yeah.
You
know, I know that.
You get the joke,
it's
right?
It's not an original joke. It's
what do you mean? Wait, have you heard it before?
Yeah, obviously.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh no. All right. Fine. I didn't realize. Though. No, it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Eric, but how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine.
All right. Today we have our very first guest on the show, the bass god, Bryce Parr.
Hey yo.
Bryce, tell the people who you are. What's your deal? Who are you?
I'm Bryce Parr. I'm basically a hippie. I play a lot of video games, and I'm a PSEM student here at Stout.
All right. Well, I feel like you have to tell people that you play the bass, or my whole bass god comment kind of comes off as odd.
Yeah, I play the bass.
Nope. Okay. Doesn't play bass at all.
Nope. Just the bass god for other reasons. All right. So you have brought a game in, not physically. You don't have the disc with you, but you brought a game in your mind to talk about today.
Correct.
But before we get to that, it's time for a very important and absolutely vital part of the show, the hot take corner. And I know what your hot take is, and I'm very excited to discuss it. What is it? What's your hot take?
Well, I'm just not a fan of blockbuster films. Adventure films, the big like Marvel films, really just irk me.
All right. So the way you worded this before was different, and so now I'm thrown off my kilter, because before you just said you're not a movie fan.
I'm not a movie. I guess you could say I'm not a movie fan, but I do like some films. So saying that I'm not a movie fan just kind of it encompasses way too many genres.
This is such an odd take to me, because it's not even I don't know how to feel about it.
You're not a blockbuster movie
fan. Okay.
Yeah, I think
that's what I said.
Okay, I missed that. I was doing some sound stuff, so I wasn't fully paying attention. Yeah, I don't know. It's probably not that weird, because I mean, with all the blockbuster movies, they're basically the same. So
that's what I'm.
That's
saying.
Not true.
They follow tropes, man.
Yeah,
it's just like
old tropes.
It's the same story. They just rinse off all the details and put in more details.
Mm-hmm. It's just more. Different specific details.
You know what I love? Dumb fun, all right? And so this is what blockbuster films are.
I enjoy cerebral fun, so.
Nerd. No, but like you didn't see... Well, so you're not a fan of any of the Marvel movies or anything like that?
I'm a fan of a few of them. I liked, like, when the Marvel movies were first coming out, it was fun for a little bit, I guess. But then it just got old to me.
Have you seen
Thor Ragnarok?
No.
You should see
Thor Ragnarok.
All right, I'll watch Thor Ragnarok.
It's different. It's not like all the other ones. It's like really good.
Those movies have like...
says about their favorite Marvel movie, though.
No. So it's directed by Taika Waititi, who did What We Do in the Shadows, which is a mockumentary.
Okay.
And so it is really different. Like, it doesn't follow any of the formulas. It completely changes the character of Thor in, like, the Marvel universe. So it's really good.
Also, that movie's stylish as hell. Like, it's just a pretty-ass movie. It's got a lot of weird colors.
Yeah.
It's very, like... Someone said it was, like, Hotline Miami, the game or the movie, which I thought was pretty funny.
I'm surprised you did say the cinematography. Like,
oh, yes. The cinnamon in that movie is just... It's suffocating. I choked on it. It was really good.
Oh, man. I hate that. I hate that so much.
No,
cinematography.
Cinematography.
It's funny. Whatever.
I hate that I brought it up.
Funny.
I am funny. Follow me on Twitter at Lomyre. LOMYHRE.
That's okay. That's end of the show stuff.
No, that's not. You know, you can just
Did
plug
we just
whenever.
End the show is it over now?
Yeah, I don't even. I don't even want to talk
about it. Should
be
over after.
Follow me on Twitter. It's basically Lomyre except Bryce Parr.
Yeah. Is your Twitter handle just your full name? That's pretty nifty, actually.
It is. It's nice.
It's on brand.
Eric, what's your Twitter handle? We're doing it. We might as well.
I guess we're plugging in the middle of the show.
Yeah.
So people will totally remember to do this at the end of the show.
What do you mean? They can just do it right now.
Well, here's the thing. So, like, throughout the show, people might get bored of us just sitting and talking. And, you know, they're engaged now. Mm-hmm. They're going to pull out their
phones. There
phone.
You go. Yeah.
They're going to say, I wonder what the
Twitter feeds.
They're already curious as to what the fuck I'm posting on Twitter. They're like, what is this idiot posting on Twitter?
Post about clout. And honestly, it's not.
I've never once said the word clout on Twitter.
Budget.
I doubt that.
No, it's not. I try. You can Google or like look up at Lomyre clout. It won't.
I saw some other person on Twitter like said something about clout, and I just blocked him.
Yeah,
I don't follow him. It was like in a reply to something. I'll never see their tweets, even if I didn't block them. But I blocked them anyway because they said clout. It pissed me off.
It's a good word.
No, it's not.
That's really good word. You know what else is a good word? Bougie.
No,
it's a fun. It's just fun. It's just fun to say.
No, it's not.
Anyways, fine. Let's get down to the business, okay? Bryce, what game do you want to talk about today?
I would like to discuss Rainbow Six Siege.
Okay. And so normally, the first thing what we would do is I would ask you to describe your game in 6 words, but I'm making a special exception today because you brought in a haiku. And for those who don't know, what a haiku is, it's a poem where the first line's 5 syllables, the second line is 7, and the last line's 5 syllables. What's your haiku?
All right. Search and destroy, but with realistic physical destruction engine.
Okay.
Can't snap with my left hand, sorry.
Yeah, yeah. That was really good. I like that. That was a good haiku. Now I'm going to describe this game a little bit. I've done some research. I'm going to give you some fun facts that you may or may not know about the game. And then we can go into talking about why you like the game. Rainbow Six Siege is a competitive shooter developed by Ubisoft Montreal and published by, obviously, Ubisoft. It was released on December 1st, 2015, to what GameSpot's Mike Mahardy described as a, quote, mediocre release, unquote, with server issues and what most seemed to think was a disappointing amount of content. In a video titled Rainbow Six Siege's Astonishing Comeback, Mahardy describes how Siege, since its launch, has more than tripled its player base. Rainbow Six Siege was essentially the replacement for Rainbow Six Patriots, a story-focused game announced in 2011 and canceled in 2014, where they announced that they were working on Rainbow Six Siege, which some have speculated has soured the public's view of the game kind of initially, maybe leading to some of that.
I could see that. So they thought it was like a low-budget replacement for this bigger title.
Yeah, I mean, I guess in 2014, I feel like a lot of people were still kind of really nervous that, like, story games were dying. And so obviously you see Ubisoft canceling this huge, you know, like, this is supposed to be this really, like, amazing story about these, like, morally gray Navy SEALs or whatever where the dude was making out with his wife. Whatever. It was a weird trailer they released for that game. And then announcing this, like, competitive shooter. So I guess I could see that as well. Do you kind of concur, Eric?
About the story thing?
Yeah, well, did you watch the trailer for Rainbow Six Patriots?
No, I'm really shocked that you remember this trailer.
Really?
Yeah.
I remember because I was in middle school. I was like really into like, this sounds about right in my head. I was like really into like Modern Warfare 2 at this time, the only competitive shooter I've ever liked. And then they showed this trailer for Rainbow Six Patriots, and I was like, oh, this looks edgy and awesome. Little middle school me was like, this is cool as hell.
Well, you were an Xbox kid, right? So that makes more sense.
360.
But I never,
what were you?
A PlayStation kid.
Oof.
So I never was into the Rainbow Six games, and so I was not paying attention to this game whatsoever.
Were they on PlayStation?
Yeah, probably.
I
played all single player games then. So
you really fell on the wrong side of that one. Like you paid like more money for a PS3 and like.
Yeah, but I got exclusives like Uncharted.
That's true.
And we get Halo.
Yeah.
Which sucks now.
Yeah.
Well, don't say we.
Uncharted ended great. So.
You have both, don't you?
Yeah, I have both.
Scrub.
Rich bitch. Yeah. That's not true. I got my Xbox One at launch in 2013, and then I got the PS4 3 years later in 2016. So
and he calls good. Others bougie.
Yeah, exactly. Should tear him down.
Yeah, all right. Anyways, so I'm curious to know why you chose this game. What's Rainbow Six Siege to you?
Well, I played a lot of shooters, you know, in middle school. I started with, like, Black Ops, Modern Warfare 2, and it kind of grew into, like, I wanted to play more realistic. I know it's not the right word, but that's what young me really wanted. So I started playing Battlefield just because the large-scale battles really appealed to me.
Mm-hmm.
But then my friend, he's like, hey, you should check out this game, Rainbow Six. And I'd heard about it. I had some friends that played it, but, you know, the underwhelming release was kind of a turnoff. I hopped on and just loved it. It's tactical, and it's a completely different take on the shooter genre, at least on console. You know, on PC, I've heard that it's a lot like CSGO, but on console, you have to be more tactical because your thumb, it doesn't move as quick as a mouse does.
Yeah.
And I think that's what really drew me into the game.
So you weren't in at launch, though?
No, I was not.
So approximately when did you start playing this game? I'm curious about the timeline. Was it like...
I'd have to say about a year and a half ago.
Okay.
My buddy told me to buy it, and I just bought it on a whim. And
you're still very much into this game. You play quite.
Oh, yes.
I feel like whenever I come over to your house, like what you're just playing Siege.
Yeah, usually. Okay. It fills my competitive gaming desires.
I own this game, and I've played it very few times because it's fucking hard.
Yeah.
And so I just feel like this game. Eric, have you played Siege at all?
I have not played Siege.
It's really hard. Don't play it.
I imagine
you should play it. It's really fun.
No, yeah. It is, I mean, it's a good.
Well,
time,
if but. I'd play it, I'd play it on PC because I have a PC that can run it, and that's what I've kind of wondering is, how is the pacing on console? Because I've seen it played on PC and it's insanely fast.
Yeah, I mean, well, anyone that's familiar with CSGO sees the same kind of stuff. You know, mm-hmm. you're zooming around and you barely crouch, and it's just whoever gets the first headshot. And when you're pointing and clicking, it's a lot faster. Mm-hmm. On console, more people are crouch walking, slow walking, meticulously peeking around corners with their, you know, reticle at head level, mm-hmm. because you are using a controller, and it's a huge constraint when you're trying to play. Well, it's not a constraint. It's because everybody has it, but it just slows the game down a lot.
Yeah.
There's more tactics involved, I think, in the console version of it, while PC is just reflex, right? Mm-hmm. There is some reflex. You got to be good with your thumb, because if you don't flick the stick right, you're going to miss that headshot, and you're going to get headshot. But you got to approach it with a little more thought.
Yeah.
Like, you have to plan out your attack. And
yeah, you have to know what you're doing as you're going into it.
Exactly. Or have some kind of idea and adapt on the fly. Instead of just running in and hoping you get the headshot, it's likely that won't happen unless your ping is obnoxiously high. Mm-hmm. But
now, are you playing with a team? Like, are you on mics with people when you go into a match?
I mean, if I play casual, I'll throw on the headset and turn off the mic, because most of the Xbox community, I shouldn't say that, I don't want to alienate everybody, but there's a lot of toxic players in the Xbox community. Mm-hmm. But when I'm playing ranked, I'll throw on my mic, join a party, and whatever. I'll play for a few hours with either some randos or my friends.
Okay.
Do you have a full squad that you play with? Are you guys like a full team?
I'd call it a rotating squad. So there's at least three of us that will play consistently, mm-hmm. and then sometimes we'll pick up some other friends that we've met through ranked games or other people that happen to be online.
But that's not how many is a full team in Rainbow Six? Is it five?
Five. It's okay. A 5v5.
Okay. And I guess we haven't really. What's the main game mode in this game? I know you described it like search and destroy, but I know that there's kind of some objective based stuff. What is usually the game like?
Well, there's three game modes. Aside from Terrorist Hunt. Terrorist Hunt's a little different. That's PvE.
That's like Horde mode, right?
Yeah, it's basic. Sort of. There's still objectives in Terrorist Hunt, but I don't play it that often. But
it's just kind of a weird name for a mode, right?
Well, that's what you're doing, isn't it?
Yeah, well, kind of. Sometimes you're defending against terrorists. Sometimes you're hunting terrorists. But anyways, the brunt of the game is secure the area, which is just like you have to capture a point. Then there's hostage. You just have to go extract a hostage. That one's actually kind of fun. I don't play it much because secure area is straightforward and easier to handle when you're playing with a bunch of random people. And then there's bomb, where there's two bomb sites. That one's basically search and destroy, except in Rainbow Six. You go and disarm the bomb, and they stop you, to stop you.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but from what I've played of this game, it seems like no one ever actually plays the objective. It's kind of just whoever gets, which team gets eliminated first. Is that correct?
Yeah, at low ranks, that's definitely what it is, because people won't, they just want to play for kills, I guess. When you get higher ranked, people will. I mean, I've won games like 2v5 where we happen to get into the objective and nobody's in there, and then we can hold choke points the whole time.
Yeah, so maybe it's kind of like a, it's just like an extra thing to think about. Like, you know, obviously you don't want to leave the objective.
Well, it definitely it changes each game, because if you're playing hostage, you can move the objective, right? So you go in, you grab the hostage, and you start running out. You can set yourself up.
Oh, I didn't
up.
Even know you could do that. Wow.
That's how you extract the hostages. You go in, you grab them, pull out a pistol, and you try and get them outside to some flares.
Oh, I thought you meant the defenders could move the hostages.
No, defenders can't.
Okay.
No, but the objective does add another facet to the game, but I think saying that it's just another thing to worry about would discredit it, because you can easily win games.
Okay.
By actually focusing on the objective.
Yeah, and this is more of a personal curiosity, but what do you think about the learning curve for this game? It seems to me
it's tough.
There's a lot of people playing this game, but it seems to me like it's pretty good. That was kind of the reason I couldn't get into it, is that I have a group of friends who play it. They want me to play with them, but I jump in there and I'm always the first one dead, and then I just spend the whole round watching them play.
Yeah, I think the whole no respawn thing is kind of a turnoff for newer players, because you're going to die a lot. Until you get used to headshots, you're going to be the one getting headshot. And, I mean, I'll come back after, I won't play for a month. I'll come back, and then it'll be like I forgot how to play. And then my buddy, he stopped playing for the longest time. We used to play a bunch of ranked, and then he comes back. He's terrible now. It's like you got to keep up with it because the curve is very steep mm-hmm. at the beginning.
I'm that's so curious to me that so many people are playing this game, though, because the last statistic I saw was 25 million players, and that's like 2.5 million daily, which is a lot. And it's kind of funny because, you know, this is described as like this tactical shooter. I feel like a lot of people compare it to more like the Battlefields, the Call of Duties. But I also saw the comparison there. Like, people, if you think about it, if you just made Overwatch like serious and like tactical and gave it like more close quarters combat and like a destruction engine, that's what Rainbow Six Siege is. It's literally a hero shooter, which is kind of a fun way to think about it.
Are there heroes in Rainbow Six?
Yeah, that's, I mean, they're operators, but yeah, they're basically heroes. So each operator has their own gimmick.
Oh, so you have different, like, do you have like a special ability for each operator then?
Usually it's a gadget or something.
Oh, yeah, that one dude just has a fucking sledgehammer that he can like knock down walls.
Knock down walls and stuff.
He's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. So with playing with people, how is like the matchmaking in this game? Like, are you being paired? Like, if you go into ranked, are you, I think diamond's like the best, right? So are you, if you're like a gold or whatever, you should get paired with like a diamond that just wrecks your whole team then? Or is it like pretty even?
It's, I mean, since it's headshots count, you know, you usually get paired up. I'm usually go between gold 4 and plat 4. I sit somewhere between there, usually the whole season. And I'll get paired up with other people in that range with the occasional outlier because they're playing with buddies or something. Mm-hmm. And it does get tough when you get paired up with a bunch of platinums. I mean, I've played against plat 1 and 2. There was one time that I was another guy I was playing with claimed that the team we were against was actually a pro team, or at least two of them were. Mm-hmm. And I went and looked it up. Yeah, the guy's got a YouTube channel and everything. So it does get tough at higher ranks, mm-hmm. but
overall,
matchmaking
you're not,
is pretty consistent. Okay, at least now good. It is. It used to be terrible.
Yeah, I bet, because that's usually one of the major problems that face these like online shooters is mm-hmm. the matchmaking usually just is garbage and you always just get paired. Are you finding that you get paired, like if you go against one team and then you play another match, are you going against the same team, or is it good enough that it changes teams?
It changes teams pretty frequently. Plus a lot of people, they back out, right? And if you're going in with a full team, you're gonna get matched immediately.
Yeah.
I've found that I'm pretty sure there used to be a rematch option, but I think that they took that out a while ago. But beyond that, the matchmaking is pretty consistent. Sometimes it bugs, but you know, all games do.
Yeah. Because then just in like the online shooters I play, is the matchmaking is garbage. Like mm-hmm. I was playing Destiny the other day and I literally went against the same team like 3 times because just the matchmaking is terrible.
That'll happen sometimes in casual. I don't think it's happened to me in ranked yet.
I'm curious to know about the progression in this game, because you said you've been playing for like a year and a half pretty consistently.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have all the operators? Are you?
I do not.
Really? So I know the kind of, the game's about kind of this, the competitive nature, the tactical likeness. It's more about playing the game, right, than actually mm-hmm. like unlocking everything. But I'm kind of curious to know about the progression. It seems like it takes a long time to get new operators.
Yeah, it does. So, I mean, you have your basic operators, and they're pretty cheap. Like, I have all of them, but I don't remember how much they cost. But then the DLC operators are 25,000 renown, right? So it takes a while to actually grind all that up. But
does that relate to microtransactions?
You can, like, purchase credits to get the ops, but you can also just grind and play games. You get, like, 450 on average for each ranked. It takes a while, though, because they release ops faster than I can apparently unlock them, and I came in with already all the Season 1 ops out.
So that's another thing. They're consistently adding things to this game. It's very how
they plan on – so I'm pretty sure that this is – oh, geez, 4, I think. But I'm pretty sure this is the last Rainbow Six game, too. And they just want to keep pumping out ops. I think they said somewhere around 100 operators before they even consider. Yeah,
that's a lot of people.
Yeah, Jesus.
Yeah, it's they're making some of the operators cheaper now, though. I think they made the year one ops like 15,000 instead, make that grind a little easier. And if you have a season pass, I mean, you get access to all of that year's operators. But
yeah, so you can buy them as like DLC too.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. But you can also earn them in-game?
Yeah, and I think it's more satisfying that way because the game was cheaper that way.
That's also pretty cool.
I've seen a lot of people praise this game as kind of like microtransactions done right.
Yeah, definitely. For Honor kind of takes the same approach to that too, but I mean, Ubisoft is Ubisoft, so.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So in ranked, are you, when you go in and say you lose a match, does that decrease your score?
Yeah, so it's like a running score, and every time you lose around 100 points, and then at every 100 points, there's another threshold of, you know, bronze through diamond.
Mm-hmm. So how many games do you have to win to, like, hit a next rank? Does it increase the amount? So, like, as you get higher ranks, does it take more games that you have to win to get to the next level?
I don't think so. It's more like the rank of the opposing team. So if they're a bunch of high-ranking players and they're ranked higher than you and you win, you're going to get more points towards your total.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But so if they're worse players than you and you lose, does that also decrease
score? It's a greater decrease. But it also takes into account how many rounds it took to lose. Like, if you get 4-0'd and you lose, you don't even win a single round, and they're a bunch of, like, let's say you're a gold 1 and they're a bunch of gold 4s, it's going to hurt your rank quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
It won't take you down, like, 2 notches. It'll probably just take you down the 1. But it's still, you know, it's a running tally, so it adds up after a while.
Dang. And then how hard is it? So is the top 1 diamond?
Yes.
Okay. How hard is that to do?
I don't think I even know anybody that has diamond.
Okay. So it's really
hard. So pretty hard, apparently.
I've played against diamonds. But, yeah, I have. It's tough.
So jokes on you guys. I lied. I'm really good at Siege. Yeah, I'm a diamond player.
MLG gamer, yeah. Just diamond Siege player.
This podcast is sponsored by MLG Rainbow Six or whatever.
Good try.
Yeah, well, please. If they want to sponsor us, we'll take
it. R6 League is what it is.
Yeah, I don't know anything about this game.
That's why Bryce is here.
Yeah, no, yeah, that's why he's here. We have an expert. But Rainbow Six Siege seems to have a very active, obviously there's a lot of players that seem to have a very active community. Would you consider yourself, are you like kind of part of the R6 community? Are you in there on the Reddit and stuff?
I mean, I subscribe to the subreddit, but I don't really post in there often. I just look at memes.
Okay. Yeah, for such a hard, like a hardcore game, this seems like very, it's like a very meme-y game. A lot of people are...
Yeah, it is pretty meme-y.
Not a lot to talk about it in the Reddit, right? Yeah.
No, unless I mean, it's straightforward. You'll talk about balance changes, but for the most part, it's just there's this one artist I freaking love, Sausage, his name is, and he just posts these chibi comics of all the ops, and it's funny to imagine these like hardcore, like SEAL Team 6 type shit, except as chibis and doing stupid things, like childish things. It's great.
Does he animate them, or are they just drawings?
They're just drawings. I don't think I've seen any of his animations, but
I saw a video. I don't know what character it was. It was some guy with like a green mask, and it was an Indiana Jones like thing where he's gonna, you know, when he's gonna go get that skull off of the pedestal or whatever, and he's like looking at it, and then the pedestal said buff because apparently he's like a shit character, and I was just like, oh, people are like putting a lot of effort into this because they had like. They, like, put the mask over this Indiana Jones, and they must have, like, motion-tracked this whole thing so that it was on him the whole time. It was very interesting.
I've seen those, too. Those are pretty funny. My favorite is, so there was a character, Ella, right? And she lost Impax, and then there's Jaeger. He lost his ACOG, and this pissed off the community.
What are these things?
ACOG is it's a 4x sight. It's just the only scope kind of thing.
Come on, Eric.
Yeah, come on,
ACOG.
Eric.
Simple shit.
Yeah, did you know that, Logan?
I did. Yeah, no. I played that was a thing in the old Call of Duty game.
Oh, yeah.
My middle school Logan knows.
Impact is an impact grenade.
Okay.
So they took those away. They nerfed them. And people were up in arms. And Sausage decided to do a little comic of Jaeger sitting there, will work for ACOG. And then Ella's will work for Impacts. It's just funny shit.
Okay. So I'm curious... You've been playing this game for a while. You keep coming back to it. I know I get it, it's a competitive appeal. Do you think that's the only thing is it the progression? What keeps you coming back continuously? And do you see yourself kind of doing that? I don't want to say it definitely, obviously. Do you see yourself continually playing for the near future? Like,
yeah, I'll probably play for a while. It's just it really does fit that competitive niche that I want. I tried playing For Honor for a while, and it's just it's not nearly as dynamic. And as long as they keep coming out with new ops and new maps, I'm probably going to continue playing. Because every single time a new operator comes out, the way that you play the game is going to change ever so slightly. and keeps it fresh.
So who's your main? What's your do you have like a rotating cast of people you like to play as?
It depends on the map. I'll play Sledge mostly because he's just very useful. He can break down anything. He's got grenades and he's got a decent gun. Two speed, two armor, so he's not too slow, not too skinny.
Oh, so there's like dynamic speeds for these characters?
Oh, yeah. Too? Yeah, and some days I'll play a three speed because like it's better to just rush them if they're if they take their time setting up. You can rush in there and pop a few of them, trade three of their ops for one of yours, and you're fine. Then on defense, I'll play Rook because he's by far the easiest to play, but I also love that he's one of the only defenders with an ACOG, him and Doc. And, you know, they took away Jaeger and Bandit's ACOGs, so you only really get two choices now, and they're big, fatty French dudes.
Yeah. So you mentioned the maps. How important are the maps in this game? Because when I see, like, Twitch players, they literally know every inch of the map when they go in.
Oh, yeah. People will play through it in custom games and just, like, look at all the possible peak points for a certain entryway or something. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, in League 2, it's, like, it's just second nature to them because they know exactly what angles to hold to get to a certain spot. Mm. And it's...
And with the... It's crazy because, like, with the destructibility of the map, like, they're just poking holes in very specific spots so they can get just a line of sight and then that they can just fit their gun through or so that they can't get hit, and it's just crazy.
Honestly, that's the best tactic, is to actually use the mechanics of the game. Mm-hmm. There's one map where there's a visa office, right, and there's an entryway, but the whole floor above it is... or ceiling is destructible. So you go up there, you pop one little hole, and you can watch the door right underneath, and people are, they never expect it. They come in the visa office, and they're like, someone's going to be off to the right. That's where they always are.
They come to get their visa?
Yeah, they come to get their visa, and then you just pop in the head from above, and they're like, holy shit. But no, and the destructible environment is huge in the game. I mean, most of the operators are based around it. You can reinforce the walls, you can break down the walls, and they added they just added Maverick, who has a freaking blowtorch to just carve out the wall. Dang. But yeah, there was a map, Favela, which basically every single wall is destructible, and they actually removed it from casual and ranked for like a good year and just recently brought it back. I'm not a fan.
Why not? Just because it makes it really difficult?
It's super tight quarters. And everything is destructible, so you're always going to die in the same stupid ways. Attackers will, they get peeked way too easily, too, because it's so easy to get outside and look at the spawn point. You know, I've seen videos of people breaking down one door, waiting for the round to start, running out there and acing just because they sprayed just right and got five headshots.
Oh.
It's obnoxious.
Because when you start the round, you start outside, like one team starts inside, one team starts outside?
Yeah, right? So the defenders start inside. Right at the beginning of the round, they get to prepare, put down their gadgets, put up reinforcements, and then the attackers are on drones, and they're zooming around for 45 seconds or 30 seconds or something like that, and they have to try and find the objective, identify all of the opponent's operators, and then just figure out an attack plan, I guess, mm-hmm. like watch how people are setting things up and figure out where to go, what kind of things to avoid. Like if you identify Frost in the pre-round, you're probably going to want to take a look at the ground occasionally so that you don't step on any traps.
Are these drones like helpful? Because like I've also seen people that just don't even use them.
The people that don't use drones, I don't know how they're even like handling this game. They must have a sixth sense because I'll go through a room, be like, I hear something in the next room. Maybe it's underneath me. I don't know. So you kind of have to drone or you really have no idea what's going on.
Yeah. But so you can drone in the game too while the match is going.
Wasn't there any specific characters? Or?
No, all characters get drones. They all get two. Oh, okay. One at the beginning that you can then pick up again if it doesn't get shot. And then another during the round. You can drone at any time.
Oh, okay.
Twitch does get a special drone though.
Yeah, because that was the character I always played was Twitch.
Yep. She's decent. She's got a taser on her drone, but she can't jump. So or the drone can't.
Oh, other drones can jump.
Yes.
That does make sense.
No, it doesn't. But hey,
hers has a taser,
your disbelief.
Eric. There's no room for the jumping.
I think that's literally how they describe it in the lore.
The taser took up the space where the jump button was.
Yeah, where the peg that shoots out underneath it, there's a taser there instead to make it jump. Or
God,
not
do you know nothing about drones?
Yeah, I guess not. I don't know anything about military-grade drones. I think their thousands of dollars in budget would afford them to get a drone that could tase and jump.
Well, they're just throwing these things out willy-nilly.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine they'd want to waste, like, a few thousand dollars on this little rotating thing that's just going to get shot anyways.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. So it doesn't need a joke. But I can't imagine it's, like, that much technology. You just duct tape a taser to the top of it and, like, hit a button. That's how tasers work.
Sure.
Hey, I think I know. I'm an expert on the subject.
You're an expert on tasers?
Yep.
Have you ever been tased?
No, I don't ever.
Have you been tased?
No.
You said it like you had been, and I was like, you need to tell me.
I've been electrocuted, and I have no desire to ever be tased.
You've been zapped. Electrocuted implies you've died.
Yeah, okay, yeah, sorry. I've been zapped, sorry.
That's one of those things. That's one of those semantics things where I get kind of annoyed when people say it. I'm like, oh, whatever, man. You know what I meant.
Someone did that to me, and I felt like I have to pass it on.
Yeah.
My roommate got shocked once too while he was in the frickin' shower. So,
yeah. Why in the shower?
Because he reached up above the cabinet and there was like literally exposed wires there, and it was behind the wall, but it was touching a metal panel that was right there. So he touches it and just, yeah.
You guys live in a very safe apartment.
Oh, we moved out of there. Yeah, we called the maintenance guy at like 9 p.m. Like, you got to come fix this. He comes up. I'm pretty sure he was drunk. Shows up. Tapes everything off. I'll be back tomorrow. It's funny shit.
That's safe. That doesn't sound like a fire hazard at all. Just exposed wires near water. Yeah. Duct taped together.
Cotton wires, too.
Oh, good. Yeah, not a fire hazard at all.
So you kind of touched on this before, but you don't think there's any chance for a Rainbow Six Siege 2 or a Rainbow 7 Siege?
I don't think so. They haven't said anything about it, at least. Not that I've heard. And they're still continuing support for this game. You know, it's they keep updating like the actual mechanics of the game sometimes too. Mm-hmm. And then there was Operation Health where they fixed all the net code, and they actually do still care about the game. And I think it's kind of a living thing that they're just going to keep adding to, taking away from until it's molded into whatever they really want it to be.
Yeah, and this game's super hot right now. Still, I feel like it might actually be at like peak popularity. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't have any statistics to back this up. I'm just pulling it out of my ass.
It's been out for what, almost 4 years now.
Yeah, something like that.
It's still going strong, so.
Do you think that they'll port this game then once new consoles come out?
That's a good question. That's investigative journalism right
there. That is a good question. I have no idea. I mean, it really depends on what the new consoles are, because I feel like every year they want to move towards like some kind of just entertainment system console kind of thing where it's all in one.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure they will port it, and it's going to be a little more universal in the future, but I mean, I have no idea.
Is this game gonna come to Switch anymore?
I don't think
I really doubt it. I don't think it can actually run the game.
I mean, Switch has run some crazy shit.
Switch does run some crazy shit.
Like what?
Runs Doom.
Doom? Wolfenstein 2? I can't believe Wolfenstein 2 runs on that thing.
Yeah, but do you think it could handle online like in-depth online?
Yeah, I don't know. Nintendo, the Switch doesn't have the online infrastructure yet. It's working on it, but
well, it just came out, right?
Like, the online service just came out, so I think that
I was mostly joking, but that would be sick.
Yeah, in my experience, Nintendo has some real spaghetti netcode, so it's like
even just with spaghetti netcode, even with fighters, like if you go into their online matchmaking, it'll pop up showing like, oh, this person has strong Wi-Fi. And then as you connect, their Wi-Fi immediately drops to red bars. And you're just like, great, now I'm going to have a laggy match. Because just their online infrastructure.
That's how it
terrible.
Was. I used to play Smash online sometimes, and then I just quit after about a few days of it. Because that's the same shit, you know? You get into a game, constant lag, and then you can't even do anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so hopefully they'll have it figured out by Smash Ultimate, and then it won't be a problem.
I'm gonna make a promise right now that if Rainbow Six Siege comes out on the Switch, I'll get it and I'll get good.
Yeah.
Don't you already have the game?
Yeah, but I don't want to get good on PS4.
Speaking of that, is there crossplay with PC and Xbox?
No, okay. That would be obnoxious. That's actually a pretty big. It's a hot issue right now because a lot of people are playing with keyboard and mouse on the PlayStation. So
heathens.
Yeah, and they're. I mean.
I'm just kidding. If you want to do that,
no, that's wrong. Like, I'm going to say that right now. That is so wrong.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No. Because if you're playing on PC, it's a whole. If you're on PC going against other PC players, everyone's setup is completely different. Like, I have a 36 extra wide monitor that gives me, 3 more inches of peripheral vision. Like, that gives me advantage.
Okay, but that's because you chose to play on the PC. People playing on console, a majority of them are stuck with the controller. They're not, they don't want to learn new controls simply because somebody else is exploiting something within the system to use controls that are objectively better than the ones they have now.
Well, I feel like that's your problem. You could also learn
controls. Is it exploiting? Does PS4 not have just keyboard, mouse?
They had native, like, it was allowed in the PS4, but Rainbow Six is not, like, on console. The controls are actually different on console. So on PC, you can do a lean without ADS, right? Mm-hmm. On console, you can't do that.
Yeah.
So it's designed for a controller. So if you're going to – I just think that if you're exploiting it just to be a little better and you're changing, like, using something that somebody else doesn't have access to, I just think that's wrong.
I don't know. I don't think it's a problem because you could also do the same
thing. Then go play it on PC, though. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's true.
If you really want to use a PC setup, then go play it on PC where you're evenly matched with everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does seem kind of, I don't know, like that. When these competitive things, I feel like giving yourself that edge is like, it's like using steroids and playing football or whatever, you know what I mean?
That's a good analogy.
I think it's the same argument as complaining about a meta in a game, like if this gun is better than that gun, because you're complaining about the gun, but you could also just use the gun yourself.
That's hardly the thing, though, because, like, some people can't use the keyboard and mouse themselves because they don't know how to set it up or whatever. And I think that forcing somebody to change, like, their actual physical setup because somebody else is doing that is wrong when you're both playing the same game on the same console. I think if the other person starts using a gun within the game that's just really good, yeah, okay, the other person should start using that gun too because you both have very easy access to it. Mm-hmm. Someone else starts using a keyboard and mouse, that shouldn't mean that the guy over here should have to go out, buy a keyboard and mouse, learn how to use it on a PlayStation simply because he wants to play a game and can't anymore because other people are edging him out with a completely different tactic. Mm-hmm. That isn't even within the game. Like, it's not using game mechanics.
Well, then I think just get good, play smarter than that person.
Fair enough. I wonder, is this a similar argument?
Did you miss the whole explanation at the beginning? Like, aiming with the keyboard and mouse?
Yeah, you can outsmart the player, don't outplay them. So,
but that's the thing, you can try and outsmart them, but it's easier to outsmart somebody if you're both aiming slowly, okay? If he's aiming obnoxiously fast.
Does he have the speed on a mouse? Because what's this game's frame rate? 30 frames, I'd assume, on console?
Yeah, 30. Well, 60, I think, on PlayStation, but I'm not sure. But what's your point? He's still going to have... Does he still have sensitivity on mouse?
Oh, okay. I didn't know you could set up the sensitivity.
Why wouldn't you be able to, though?
Yeah, at this point, I feel like this guy should just go play on PC, nerd. You know what I mean? I don't know. You're, like, doing all the setup stuff so you can have an edge on these PC players.
Yeah, honestly, just play a PC because you'll get
higher. Is this a similar argument, though? Like, how do you feel about, like if you were to order, like, one of those SCUF controllers or something with, like, the paddles and, like, all... I mean, because technically you're not... You don't have the same setup, but you're... I mean, you're...
You're not... I think that it's okay.
You're playing in a similar way, I guess.
I think it's okay because you're not altering the... you know, you can get precision stuff and all that, but everybody else is going to have the same controller for the most part. But
so it's like minute. It's
such a small difference. Like, okay, instead of pulling the trigger, I want to squeeze my hand to do blank, right?
Yeah, and I guess you still have to use the thumbsticks, which is kind of the big difference.
Thumbsticks, that's the huge argument against the using a keyboard and mouse on console because it slows everybody else down. As soon as you throw that mouse in the equation, you're going to stomp people.
Yeah. All right, you know what? We're running out of time. This has been a pretty illuminating conversation on the Rainbow Six Siege community and the game itself. I will still not be playing. It's hard as fuck.
Well, you're welcome to play on mine anytime.
Okay, sounds
good. If it had crossplay with PC, I'd play.
Yeah, I mean,
shut up.
I'm not going to play by myself on PC because I'll just get stopped.
Yeah, if it had crossplay from Xbox to PS4, because I don't know.
See, PC, that I could handle.
I would play with you.
Because, thumbsticks.
Yeah, that should be a thing.
Yeah, they hate each other.
Maybe someday. PlayStation, they just enabled crossplay with Fortnite, so we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see, maybe. Anyways, this has been the Generic Gaming Podcast.mp3. You can find it on your podcast services except for Spotify because it's really hard to get on Spotify, so we're probably not gonna be on Spotify. Anyways, tune in next week. We'll be talking about a different game with someone else probably, and
I low-key thought you were gonna like shout some specific person. I'm like, that puts a lot of pressure on us.
We may or may not have someone. It might just be us. You'll find out. Just tune in next time, you'll see. Ooh, maybe, you know what, maybe we have Dwayne The Rock Johnson on next week.
Oh,
maybe.
Keep people in suspense.
Yeah. Maybe. We got Quentin Tarantino on next week.
I heard he's kind of an asshole.
So no, that's what I'm saying. I don't know. I don't know if I'd
he's
want
cynical.
Him on the show.
Yeah, I think so.
What game do you think Quentin Tarantino would talk about?
I have no idea. Does Quentin Tarantino even play games?
I don't know.
Probably be something Japanese and underground.
Yeah, he's yeah, like it's like honestly. Some shit we've just never heard of. He's like Quentin Tarantino made his own game and he just wants to talk about that, but he's not going to give it to anyone else.
Yeah. You have to go to his house to play it.
Yeah.
That's anyways,
very Quentin Tarantino thing to do.
All right, it's time to wrap up the show. Thank you for listening. We love you, unless you suck, in which case we don't. I'm gonna find a better sign off later. See you later.